What do you do when somebody asks you questions about your faith? Do you tell them, well, you need to talk to Pastor Al? Joe, right? What do we do when people ask us questions about our faith? Do you know what you believe and why you believe what you believe? You know, or do you just say, I don't know? Or that's a good question. What do you say? And one of my goals in serving you here at Franklin Hill Church and Franklin Hill Presbyterian Church is that I want you to be prepared to give answers for why you believe what you believe. Because people, now more than ever, are asking these questions. And we need to have an answer. We need to have, and you know why we need to have an answer? Because God gives us an answer. And we need to know God's word in order to be able to give an answer. So I want to help you with that the best I can. And so we need to be prepared to answer for what we believe. And here's an age-old question, really. And especially with all the shootings that are going on in our country, there's more and more all the time, and I would not be surprised if we go home this afternoon and we hear of another one. And all kinds of evil going on. And some would say that it's probably more than ever. I don't know if that's really true, but certainly all kinds of evil and all kinds of weird stuff that's happening that I would never, ever would have thought would happen in my lifetime. And for whatever years God has left for me, I'm actually kind of glad I'm in the last third of my life with all that I see going on. Because what in the world's going to happen, you know, 20 years from now? Where are we going to be? And that's only if God doesn't come before then. Because, you know, we're ready. We're ready for God to come. Are we not?
Amen.
Yeah? Yeah. And the stage is all set. It could happen at any time. And are you ready? Right? Are you ready? You know? And are we sharing our faith? Are we answering the questions that people have? Because if you start to answer questions people have, they're going to say, hey, where do you go to church? You know? How do you know these things? Right? So we need to be able to answer this. Why does God allow evil to exist? Why doesn't God? And correct me if I'm wrong, but probably everybody here has been asked, why doesn't God stop this evil? What's going on? Why doesn't God do something? God is certainly God. He can do anything he wants. Why is he not stopping evil? And what would you say? Hey. Yeah, yeah. See, Aubrey picked, and right? There's the answer. There's the answer. God has given us the freedom of choice. He's given us the free will to make choices. And you know, we all in our lifetimes have made poor choices, haven't we?
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. And you know, there's a law called reaping and sowing. It's found in Galatians. And it says, you will reap what you sow. And whatever we sow, we are going to reap that. And the poor choices, I don't know about you, but when I've made poor choices, I've reaped what I have sown. And I don't have anybody to blame but myself. I don't have God to blame. I'm the one that made the choice. And all that's going on in our country and all the evil that's going on, they have a choice. Are they going to obey God? Are they going to live godly lives? Or are they going to go their own way? Now, why didn't God, you know, I thought about this and I thought, why didn't God, there would be no controversy, there would be no conflict, right?
Well, where's the challenge?
Where's the challenge? Where's the challenge? Yeah. But you know, the reason God didn't create robots is because robots aren't capable of loving. And the Bible says that God has created us, all the way back in Genesis, God has created us in what? In His image. In His image. See, I'm getting to really enjoy you guys. Because you're answering, you know, when I ask a question, I want you to think, you know, about what the answer is. And it's great that hey, we're created in the image of God. See, you know that. See? And who is God? What does the Bible say about God? It's God is a God of truth, and He's a God of love. Now, there's not a whole lot we know about God, but we know those two things. And so when God created us in His image, right, He created us to love as He loves. See? Robots can't love. Now, love is a kind of a weird thing when you think about it. Because, how do you love somebody that doesn't love you? Right? How do you love? How do we love as God loves? God loves unconditionally so much, as we know, that He sent Jesus Christ, in that while we were yet sinners, Romans 5:8 says, Christ died for us. And so in order for us to love as God loves, and even though we mess up and we're not as loving as we should be, you know, and as I think, you know, what would happen if we all really took loving each other seriously, huh? And that we would, as one of the scriptures says, that we would outdo one another in showing love for one another. Wow. Think about what our world would be like. Think about what our church would be like if we all loved one another as Christ, as God loves us. Think about a difference that would make. Right? And God says, okay, I want you to love me. I'm not going to force you. And when you think about love, like I say, it's kind of weird. Because you can take something like sex. Oh, don't talk about sex in church, right? Well, why not? God does, right? God has a lot to say about sex. Read Song of Solomon. Kind of turn your face kind of red, right, as you read some of that. But you take something like sex that God has ordained to be within the bounds of marriage, right? And it can be a wonderful thing. It can be a wonderful thing when it's kept within the bounds of marriage and it's a part of the marriage becoming one. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But you know, again, God giving us choices. What happens when we take sex outside of marriage? What happens when we introduce force into sex? Well, then it becomes rape, doesn't it? Huh?
Eros is a bad thing.
Yeah.
Eros.
Yeah. And whenever you introduce force into love, then love ceases to exist. You understand that? Force. You introduce force into anything that has to do with love, love stops. Love stops. And so God gave us freedom of choice. He says, I want you to choose to love me. I'm not going to force you to love me. You're not going to be a robot, right? Because to take away man's freedom of choice, even his freedom to make wrong choice, is to manipulate him as though he were a puppet and not a person, Madeline says here. And she's right. If you take choice away, and even if you take wrong, when people make wrong choices, if you take choice away from them, then they become a puppet. They become a robot. And love cannot exist. So God's not going to do that. He gives us choice so that we can love. And Adam and Eve were given a choice. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but out of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die." Now, why did God do that? You know, you think about it. Those of us that hunt and enjoy the outdoors, you don't have to hunt to enjoy the outdoors, but to just look around, right, and see all that God has created. It's wonderful. And the flowers that God has given us, and, you know, and you know, he did even more, because now there's weeds. There's some weeds out there and stuff, right? And the ash trees die, right? All those kinds of things. But in the Garden of Eden, God made everything perfect. There was no weeds. And everything was beautiful. God gave Adam and Eve everything. Everything you could ever want. The most beautiful of anything, right? And God said, "Here you go. Going to put you there. Enjoy yourselves. But I want you to love me. I'm not going to force you. And so there's a tree here that I'm going to say to you, command you not to eat of that tree. And if you love me, you will obey." Now, Bruce was talking about grandparents' day today. We've all had children, or if we haven't, we have very special children in our lives. And what would it be like if they constantly disobeyed, right? We want them to obey. We want them to listen to what we say, because we love them. We love them. We're not going to, you know, say, "Obey me just because I say so." It's because we love them, see? And God loved Adam and Eve, loved all of us in Adam and Eve, and said, "Okay, I'm going to make it as easy as possible for you." And as grandparents, Deb and I both, we can say, yeah, we try to make it as easy as possible for our grandchildren to love you, right? And I know Bruce and Vicky do the same thing with Skylar over here, right? Take her to all kinds of special things, right? And that's what love does, see? But what happened, right? In Adam and Eve, the Apostle Paul says, "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all have sinned." Because we all know what happened. And there was a serpent in the garden that just before Eve partook of the fruit and Adam, and gave it to Adam, and he partook as well. The serpent said, and I want us to really focus on this morning, because, and I don't have a slide on it, because as I was praying, as I do on Sunday mornings pretty early, and just pray about the message, and that God would speak, and I thought about, you know, what happened? What happened? Why did Eve? Why did Adam? They had everything. Why on earth? See? Here's the question. And you probably ask this, well, if God made it so easy, why did they sin? And here's what happened. The serpent came along, it says in Genesis chapter 3, that, and said to Eve, and I want you to hear this, okay? Did God really say? That's what the serpent said. And we talked about in Sunday school. If you're not going to Sunday school, hey, you're missing something. It's a great small group. We had a great time, didn't we? Huh? Right? And we discussed stuff like this, see? And did God really say? And we talked in Sunday school about doubt, right? And it's not sin to doubt, but what do we do with our doubts? Where do we go with our doubts? Do we allow our doubts to take us to where the world goes? Or do we allow our doubts? You know what? If you have doubts and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, where are you going to go? You're going to go and say, you know what? I'm going to be honest. You know my heart anyway. I have some real, real doubts here. And when we do that, you know what Jesus said? We said this in Sunday school. What happened with the doubting Thomas, we call him, right? When the doubting Thomas had doubts, what did Jesus do? He said, come. Come on. Come on. See the nail prints in my hand. See the wound in my side. See? And Jesus is saying the same thing to you. When you have doubts, come on, come on, come on. Bring them to me. Right? And when we do, our faith grows even stronger. And we constantly need to be in the Word and applying the Word to our lives. And when we experience evil and hear all these evil things that are going on, here's what happens. Did God really say? So now I'm going to get to meddling, right? Did God really say that I'm to love my brother and sister and to outdo my love for my brother and sister above and beyond myself because that's what you've called me to do? Or do I think I know better than God? I'm going to love them until this happens, or I'm going to love them until this happens. Well, you know better than God, huh? Really? You know better than God? Did God really say, I've got to love no matter what? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Did God really say that sex remains in the bounds of marriage? Or did he say, live together? You know? Get to know one another. Hey, that makes all kinds of sense. Did God really say? Yes, he did. Did God really say, honor thy father and mother? Well, I will until they disappoint me. I will until this or that. You know better than God, huh? Do I know better than God? Or do I obey what God says? This is what God said. That's it. It's done. It's over. That's what God says. And if we listen to the evil one, and the evil one is very much alive and well, is he not? You know he is. And here's what causes all the problems, people. Here it is. Here it is. Did God really say? Because in the garden, this is what it was. The suppression of truth. Did God really say? The suppression of truth. There it was, right? The desire to know more than God. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was a delight to the eyes and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took the fruit and ate And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. There it is. I want to know more than God. I want to know more than what God says. I think I know more than God. Really? Think about how absurd that is. Do we know more than God? Boy, God help us. But that's what's happening in our country. All the political, whatever it is. Now it's not about God's word, it's about what's politically correct. Because we know more than God, right? Wrong. Let's have an answer, people. Let's have an answer for the questions that come. And don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. God's truth will prevail. And what happens when we make these evil choices, when we suppress the truth, when we think we're more, that we know more than God? Here's what happens. Romans 1:8, we read it this morning. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness did what? Come on. Are you asleep? You were with me, right? Yeah. Suppress the truth. See? Why doesn't God stop the evil? Why is it we can't do what God says? That's the better question.
Our self-centeredness.
Yeah. Believing that we know more than God. You got choices, right? I have choices. So now that you know how to answer the question as to why God allows evil, and you know why now, right? I hope you know why. Or you're just being bashful, right? So now that we know why, what choices, here it is, what choices are we going to make? Is God's truth your truth? Or do you know more than God by the choices in which you live? And you know, we have choices. And what do? When there's people that don't like us, what do? When people disagree with us, what do? When people badmouth us, what do? When people lie, what do? When, you know, and those are kind of like way down here in the evil department. It's still evil, isn't it? Right? What do? Well, if you're here this morning and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, and I think most of you do, you know, then we don't respond by returning evil for evil. You know, we don't do that. You understand that? We don't do that. We do not do that. Because God said, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." Now, do you know more than God? Are you going to forgive? Are you going to respond in love? Or are you going to say, well, because of that, then I'm going to do this, despite what God says? No, God says you're to love and forgive. And that's the only way that we are going to move on. And it's the only way that God is going to preserve what's here on Franklin Hill. And it's up to you. It's up to you, and it's up to me. What are we going to do? Are we going to be the church that God has called us to be, to love? Are we going to be known for our love, no matter what is being said? Are we going to forgive? That's what God says. Do you know better than God? Well, I will forgive, but I won't forget. You know, well, when you say you don't forget, does that mean vengeance? Does that mean because this happened, then I'm not going to be a part of, or I'm not going to do this, or I'm not going to do that? We got choices, people. We got choices. What are we going to do? Love them anyway. That's right, Kathy. Love them anyway. Can we all say that?
Love them anyway.
Let's do it again.
Love them anyway.
There you go. There you go. And I love you. I really believe you mean that. And so when we leave this morning, I want us to leave with that on our hearts. We love you anyway. And we are here because we love you anyway. Because this is what God says. We do not know more than God. And why can't we leave God take care of the things that we can't? You can't change hearts. I can't change hearts. You know, when I was a counselor, there was so much pressure to be, if Al can't fix it, it can't be fixed. And I hated that. I hated that. It ruined me, really. Because I said, you know what? I'm not Jesus Christ. I can't fix everything. But that was the expectation. And you know, you can't live up under that kind of expectation. Because you can't fix everything. Only God. You know, I can't fix so much as a doorknob in somebody's heart. That's something only God can do.
That's the great divorce.
Yep. That's right, Caesar. And you know, we can't change people's hearts. Their hearts are going to be what they are. Don't try to change them. You know what you can do? You ready? You can pray for them. Here, listen to what Ella said. Love them. That's what we can do. And that's what we're going to do. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I got to preaching, didn't I?
Amen.
Keith, I love you, brother. Well, that's the challenge. That's the challenge, the charge, everything else all put together. And so I think after that, we need to have a woman come up here and lead us in singing here. So let's do that.